Thank you, Holy Jesus. God is so good. Amen. He's a good God. Never, ever forget that. Amen. Well, good afternoon, church. Good to see you. Today's one of those days where every time we look at God's word, we realize how true it is and how wonderful it is and how accurate it is. We could believe everything about God's word. You don't have to doubt one thing or question that, but to receive it by faith and trust God's word. Today's one of those days where he begins to give our church beauty for ashes. He begins to give our church the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I believe that this is the time where the darkness is truly fading and we're going to walk more ever in his marvelous light. Word of God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that there's a time for everything. We know that famous scripture. There was even a song about it years ago. That God works in time for it. There's a time for this and a time for that. There's a time for many things. And Word of God says that in that time, everything is beautiful in its time. In its time, in a special place that God has ordained, everything is beautiful in its time, praise God. And that truly, really is true. David's mighty men, the Word of God says, they knew the times and they knew what to do. And such a time as this, even today. Paul wrote in a book of Philippians, he says, "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." And he says also in that same chapter, "Let us be of the same mind." In other words, there's a time to leave the things of the past and learn from them and grow from them and sometimes carry the wounds and scars from them. But it's a time to reach forward, to go forward into the things which are ahead. Maybe not even knowing exactly which things are ahead, but trusting God that he will certainly lead us into things ahead, praise God. And Isaiah wrote something similar. He said in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, he wrote, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall bring forth." I love that. "Now it shall bring forth. And shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And I love that, "shall you not know it." In other words, just grab a hold of it. Don't let it pass you by. No matter what the conditions or situations may be, understand that God is doing a new thing. And let's embrace that, even not knowing exactly what he may be doing yet. But embrace that new thing and not miss that sovereign move of God. And I believe today there's a sovereign move of God going within our church. It's time to do just that, to put some of that past behind us, to begin a special healing for our church and to march together into our future as a church, as brothers, as sisters, as those who has God put together. We've been through a difficult time, but I know in my heart that God is doing a new thing today. Which we'll explain in a second. About maybe a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, I lose track of time sometimes, a while ago, way before my failure and the incident that happened over the past 6 months, about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, I went to our board, and after a time of prayer and just asking God, what do you want me to do? God so put it on my heart that it was time for me to semi-retire from being the senior pastor here at Lighter World Church. So about maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, I went to our board, and I said, "Listen, let's start to begin the process. I believe that in the near future, it's time for me to step down, retire from being senior pastor. Not retire from ministry. I'll always be involved in ministry, praise God, amen, but not as senior pastor. I think God has different things for me. I've been pastor here at Lighter World Church for about 22 years, and before that, I was in ministry for about 7 years as a staff minister in another church, but I've always been counseling people since 1972. I just aged myself, but it's been a long haul. It really has, and I know that God has something different. So I also believe that when we function in the things of God, there are two things we look at. One, to function in the land of our anointing, where God sends us, but also in the time of our anointing, the time God has for us to do what he has called us to do. And so like Paul said, I said many times to the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And that was my heart. I think we all just desire God's will. What do you want me to do? In the past 6 months for me has been a time of correction, has been a time of brokenness, but also has been a time of growth and restoration. And through great affliction in my heart, I believe I'm in a good place with God. God restores. if we submit to his restoration process and just follow him through, God restores. And I believe I'm in a good place with God. I know that and I believe that. But in the light of my desire to retire, although it started many years ago, one thing I didn't want to do was this. I didn't want to come back as senior pastor after my time of correction. I didn't want to come back as senior pastor and then in a few months go out again and retire. I didn't want to let the church go through that up and down. One thing I didn't want to do was come back again as senior pastor and then retire. I didn't want to bring the church on that roller coaster ride. So what I decided to do a few months ago, and I shared it with the pastors and I shared it with the board, that it is time for me to semi-retire and get a new senior pastor in place here at Light of World Church. That was my desire. I didn't want to go up and down and come back in again, then come back out again. So it was my desire to leave again just for retirement. I didn't want to bring everything up and down. So now it's the right time for me to semi-retire as senior pastor, a right time for a new senior pastor. So I announced my decision to leadership, my decision to retire, as well as my decision for God's choice and who I believe through much prayer, through much seeking God, and knowing in my heart. Ever get those things where you just know something? You just know it. I mean, there's really even no hardly any discussion about it. You just know it deep in your heart, praise God. And God's choice to for the new leader. This past Tuesday night, we met as a leadership team here in our church here, and it was a clear majority that said yes to God's choice. Much discussion, sometimes much heated discussion, good discussion, praise God. But the clear majority was in favor of my choice for our new senior pastor. And right now, beginning right this second, our new senior pastor is Pastor Reggie James. Come on, can we stand and welcome him? Come on, can we do that? Can we do that for Pastor Reggie James? Come on, Pastor Reggie. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. All right, don't clap too long. You can sit down now. He's. Amen. I know that to be God's sovereign choice. I know that. But listen, I just want to share one thing with you. I will be here. I'm not going there. If I just got to clean toilets or sit in the back, I will do that. But I want you to know also, we're not, myself and Pastor Reggie, there's no co-leadership. I am not a co-leader. He's the leader. Go to him. Don't go to me, all right? There's no co-leadership, no co-this, no that. He's the leader. And I have made a choice to serve him, to support him at his request, to be used any way that he would want me to be used. Even if it is cleaning toilets or whatever it may be, that's okay. It won't be the first time we've done that. But if he asks me to do other things, I will surely do that. I will submit totally to his leadership. And when called upon, I will serve him to the best of my ability. And I know that we will thrive. In this situation, I know that we will thrive under Pastor Reggie. I know that. This transition, myself to Pastor Reggie, is how it should be. I know that. He has a great vision. He has a great vitality, a great heart. And it's going to be my honor and privilege to serve and support him and be here for them any way I can. And it's my hope and desire that you do as well. That you do as well, that you realize that this is God's sovereign decision. And though it may take time understanding some things, but to embrace that and go with that. Listen, my 22 years as pastor here, and even as a staff member before that, it's been a long time, so I know it's time for a change for me. But in all our years at Light of World Church, he's never failed us, church. He's never failed us, amen? Not one thing has ever failed. Even we've been through mountaintops, we've been through valleys, we've been through highs, we've been through lows, we've been through times of tears, laughter, sorrow, joy, loss and gain. And it's been an incredible journey. But I truly believe with all my heart, just like that wedding at Cana, God has saved the best for now. God has saved the best for now. There's no doubt about it. Amen. So Pastor Reggie is known to so many. I know most of you know him. He's been working with the youth for quite some time, along with his wife, Jess. He's a man, I believe, hungry and thirsty for the things of God. He has proved himself time and time again in all he has done for Light of World Church. He so closely shares my heart and vision, and I see the relationship with his wife, Jesse, mirrors so much of my relationship with my wife, Joanne, years ago. There's so much of a coordination there, amen? His marriage reflects a lot that was in my marriage. He's not Italian, but we could work around that. We could work around that. That's not impossible. We could work around that. So I pray that you love and serve and support him as you did me. And all will be well, because what is God doing? He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And I know in my heart, it's time, praise God. And I'll be here the best I can, praise God, but that'll be up to Pastor Reggie. So understand one thing, he's the new senior pastor. And I'm asking all the leadership, pastors, elders, deacons, board, and all of us too as well, to throw our support and our love and our prayers and our care. The church is going to go on, praise God. God has great and wonderful, amazing things planned for Light of World Church, but we need to do it together, praise God. Together, time to leave those things that we behind, to forgive, forbear, to go forward, praise God, and watch what God does. And watch what God does. And I just wrote briefly before we pray for Pastor Reggie and Jesse as well. How do we go forward? How do we go forward? And even praying deep last night, even into the night last night, and God so put on my heart, and I'm going to share it briefly, the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. It's a story where King Jehoshaphat was in charge of God's people, and the enemy came against Jehoshaphat and God's people. And we know we have an enemy, don't we? We have an enemy that comes against us, that comes against you and comes against me, doesn't like us, hates our guts, as a matter of fact. So he's going to come, sometimes unprovoked, and sometimes we can do some things that can get in the way, but he's going to come and attack you and I. That's what he does, okay? And what did Jehoshaphat do? Jehoshaphat made a promise to seek the Lord and ask for help. Where else are we going to go? Where else are you going to go? Man is good, thank God for man, amen, and man's wisdom, but it falls so far short. When you get attacked, when the devil comes against you, your kids, your marriage, your family, where are we going to go? We're going to go to him. We're going to seek him. And we're going to ask help. And as we do that, we know that he's going to be there, praise God. But see, Jehoshaphat had to get something in his heart while he did that. The word of God said in verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 20 that Jehoshaphat understood, he was fully persuaded that God was a God of power and might, and that no one will be able to withstand him. See, that's got to be settled when you're in the battle. When things are coming against you, you got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know. And you got to have it settled, praise God, that God is a God of power and might, praise God. He will fight for you, praise God. He will be there to hear your cry, praise God. And he's not going to let you go, praise God. And you got to be fully persuaded, amen. You got to get that done in your heart. You can't bring unbelief to God. You can't doubt him in the middle of the battle when things are coming against you. You can't doubt him. That's not the time to doubt him. That's why it's so important to continue to come to church to build our faith. Read the word, study the word, praise God, prayer, to build our faith. Why? Because when that battle comes, I don't doubt God. Even though you may not understand what he's doing, even though you may not see what he's doing, even though it looks like he's gone sometimes, the faith that you have will stand in a time of crisis. Why? I believe my God. Like Paul says, I know who I believe, praise God. But you got to get that settled. If it's not settled in your heart, when that attack comes, you're going to start to get a little shaky. You're going to start to say, God, where are you? God, don't you love me anymore, God? You start to get into all these doubts and unbelief about God. No, that's just what the devil wants, to get you into some kind of unbelief. Because if he can get you to some kind of unbelief, then he starts to tear at the victory that God has for you. No unbelief. God, I'm going to get it fully persuaded to God that what you said is going to happen, Lord God. And then he said, then he prayed, says, whatever comes in our affliction, God, when we cry out to you, God, you will hear and you will save. Do you believe that he will come to you in your time of crisis? Is that settled in your heart? Or you think God is mad at you? Or you think God is still upset at you? No. No unbelief. And the enemy came to throw Jehoshaphat out of the possession, the inheritance that God gave them. We know what your inheritance is. Oh yeah, it's all peace and joy and all those good things. But you know what your inheritance is? Your inheritance is Jesus Christ. That's our inheritance. And the devil wants to come with all the hordes of hell to try to separate you from Jesus, to make you doubt him, to make you question him, to make you somehow walk away from him. That's what he tries to do, to take you out of the possession that God gave us. And Jehoshaphat cried out, says, we have no power. He prayed, said, God, we have no power. And in me and you, you know what? We have no power to stand against the wiles of the devil. In our flesh, no matter how smart we think we are, no matter how educated we think we are, no matter what our past has been, you and I, we have no power against the hordes of hell. And he cried out, said, Lord, we have no power. And you know what? We don't know what to do. Ever been in a situation where I don't know what the heck to do? I don't know what, should I pray? Should I go see this? What should I do, Lord God? And sometimes it's okay not to know what to do because we know where to go, praise God. And he said, Lord, our eyes are on you, God. Our eyes are on you, God. In other words, God, I'm completely dependent upon you. My faith is in you. I submit. I absolutely surrender to you, God. I trust you. My focus is on you, God, and I believe you. I believe you, God. My eyes are on you. Can we say that today, even in our attack or crisis? Lord, I believe you. I believe you. My eyes are on you. I don't know what to do, God. And sometimes we get to the place of being at wit's end, and we don't know what to do. God's word came. He says, don't be afraid. God's speaking. Don't be discouraged. And look what he says. The battle is not yours, but God's. God is fighting for you. Do you realize that? Right this very second, in your fears, in your battles, in your situation, he is fighting for you right now, praise God. And that's why you've got to praise him and say, thank you, Lord. Because right now he faces whatever's coming against you. And he's facing it with all the blessings and power of heaven, praise God. Why? He loves you. And he's coming against all that comes against you. The battle is not yours, but God's. And he says to Jehoshaphat, you shall not need to fight. He says, position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Position yourself. What's your position? I believe God. I believe God. Stand still. You know what that means? Give it to God. Give that thing to God. Give that battle. Give it and put it in his hands. Stop trying to fight it. Stop trying to rationalize it. Hold on to it. Give that battle. Give that person. Give that thing. Give it over to him, praise God. And be still and know that he is God. And see the salvation of the Lord. He's with you, he says. And the word of God says, as it closes, they worship loud and high. Worship him. And they praised him in the beauty of holiness. You know the key to victory right now, what you're going through? You praise him. Worship him. Worship him. Don't stop. Don't stop. I know you may not feel like it, but don't stop. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Worship him and praise him high and loud. High and loud. Let the enemy hear it. High and loud, praise God. And God will win out today. And the word of God says, Jehoshaphat and all the people had quiet and rest all around as God destroyed the enemy, never to be seen again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My people, we're going forward. We're going forward in Jesus' name, amen. We're going forward in faith. We're going forward in trust. We're going forward together, praise God. We're going further in all the things of God, every promise of God, every power and might of God, every joy and peace and faith. We're going forward, standing on every promise of God, praise God, amen. And I believe with all my heart the good things God will have for us as we go forward, believing, trusting God, and knowing that God is moving sovereignly and fighting for each and every one of us, praise God. We're going forward. And I'm going to be here, praise God, and any way that I can be of help. I want us to do that together. Can we go forward together? Can we do this together, praise God? Can we defeat hell together, praise God? Can we open the windows of heaven together, praise God? And can we walk arm in arm, praise God, winning every single battle that we face? Why? Because the battle's not yours. It is God's, praise God. Amen. Give him praise and say, thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask at this time if Pastor Reggie and Jess and family could come up. And the leadership, elders, pastors, deacons, board, if you are here, could you come forward? Pastor Reggie, could you come to my right here? Jess and all the other leaders who are here, guys, come on up. And also the board, pastors, come on up. Board members who are here, Matt, come on up. Just kind of gather behind Pastor Reggie. Amen. Thank you, guys. Good. Thanks, man. Come on, just kind of gather. If you don't want to get close, that's okay. We could extend our hands. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, guys. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Can we stand right now as we pray? Can we stand? Just going to say a prayer right now as we, by God's design, put Pastor Reggie in the position of senior pastor. Along, helped by his wife, his children, his family, and us together. That by standing today, we give agreement. Lord God, we believe this is a sovereign choice of you, Lord God. And we stand together as one church, one voice, one body, Lord God, in praying for our precious brother. And let me pray today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, today, Lord God, bless and fill and embrace Pastor Reggie, Lord God. Father, we know that he's called. You have equipped him, and you have chosen him, Lord God. It's your choice, God, and I believe that with all my heart, God. Father, he's been counted faithful and trustworthy, God, and you have given him such grace and mercy, God, in these days, God. You have called him to be a steward and servant to Light of the World Church, Father, and he has so done that ever since day one that he's been here, Lord God, and I know that you'll continue to do that, Lord God. Father, help him to know you more deeply than ever before and to believe you more fully than ever before, Lord God. Help his faith, God. May it never waver, Lord Jesus. May he know, God, you more personally and intimately than ever before, God. And every day, God, cause him to crave your presence and your holy word, Lord God. Father, enable him to forget the past and press forward, Lord God, to that high calling, always reaching forward, Lord God, always reaching forward, God. Help him to be faithful in trials and temptations, God. And Lord God, to be abandoned and totally surrendered to you. To show forth Christ and to reflect you, God, in all that he thinks and says and does, Lord God. Lord, fill him with your power and presence, God. May he have assurance of victory in every battle that he faces, God, him and his family, Lord God. And that you will sustain him no matter what, Lord God. You are the source of all that he ever needs, Jesus. And God, let your love be shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And help him, God, to worship you deeper than ever before in spirit and in truth, Lord God. Help him to love the church as you do, God, giving himself fully to it, just as you have, God. Fill his heart to seek and to save the lost, God, knowing that the harvest is ripe, God, but the time is urgent, Lord Jesus. May he preach, God, correct, build, exhort, Lord God, always being rooted and grounded in the truth and in your love by the word, God, equipping others and feeding the sheep, God, to watch over them, protecting and guiding them, Lord God. Lord, help him to hold fast to sound doctrine, God, teaching your word, God, proclaiming Christ, God, salvation in no other name, and Christ crucified, resurrected, and alive, praise God. And Father, thank you that we also lift up Jesse, God, and the children, Lord God. Father, thank you for this family, Lord God, that has stayed together through so much, Lord God. Father, continue to use them for your glory, God, and to use them, God, for what you are doing here at Light of the World Church, God. Father, thank you for the heart you've put in Jesse, God, the heart for you, God, the heart to love and support her husband, Lord God, and how you will use her in the days ahead, Lord God. Guide her and fill her, Lord God, and let her know, God, this is she's been here, God, for truly such a time as this, God. Father, may Pastor Reggie continue to preach the power of the cross and that the kingdom of God is at hand, God. Lord, enable him to live what he preaches, God, to preach with urgency and the full counsel of the word, God. May he preach in the demonstration of your power and not in the persuasive thoughts of man, God. Thank you that he will glorify you and glorify only in the cross, Lord God. Never let him seek popularity or recognition. Protect him from that, Lord God. But he's there to please you and to please you alone, Lord God. Help him to be consistent and deliberate, genuine and authentic, God. Help him to protect the church from wolves and false prophets and false teachers, God. Lord, help him to love unconditionally and be a giver of grace and mercy. Keep him hungry and thirsty, God. Give him wisdom, discernment, courage, strength, brokenness, humility, passion, patience, peace, long-suffering, fearlessness, God. Protection from self and his family, God. Send those around him, God, as you do now, to support him, encourage him, God. Stand with him, God. Build him up, correct him, and counsel him, God. Pray for him and fight alongside him and not against him, Lord God. But to give him boldness and to stand when others would flee, Lord God. Let him know that in quietness and confidence is your strength, God, and his strength. Above all, Lord God, let him fall in love with you more and more each day, God, every day. And let him know how truly loved he is, God, a love that will always win out the day, no matter what the day may bring, God. And may his greatest desire, Lord, be to know and to be known as a man after God's own heart. Lord, we entrust him to you. Bless him, guard him, and keep him as senior pastor of Light of the World Church. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
God is good. You may be seated. Gloria, come back. Reggie, first and foremost, I just want to thank God for what he's done in my life. You know, I don't know where you were when you got saved. But I was 23 years old and I was at a place of hopelessness. And that was the thing that turned me around, where I looked at all my circumstances and recognized, how can a 23-year-old feel like life is over, like there's no future. And just at the right time, God stepped in. Like, I know each one of us has a story of how God rescued us and brought us to a certain place. I count it a great honor to serve here. We've been serving here for a long time, and now God has turned a page in a chapter in our life. And I thank God for that. And what he's going to do, we are so excited. I thank God for Pastor Angelo, because I could tell you, above all things, when we came to this church, what I noticed from the beginning in this place was, this was a place of love. This is a place of love. Like, my wife and I are like pretty critical people. Like, this could be fixed and that, and, you know. Now that I'm on the other side of that, like, don't say that. But that love stemmed from the leader. He has taught me how to love people. It's easy to love when everything's okay. That's not really what love is. And besides the mantle that God has placed on me, like, we got to think about, like, what it is to be a preacher. Like the first preachers were those that were following Jesus. And then, like, when Jesus went into heaven, someone came and they were John's disciple and they became a preacher. And then the guy was, I was the disciple of John who walked with Jesus, and all the way down the line. Like, that's like a big, big deal. And Pastor Angelo has taught me that. And throughout everything that has gone on, this has been something in the works for a long time. He is the founding pastor here, and this is home. And we don't discard anyone that's in our family. And as time goes, God has great things still in store for his life. And we're looking forward to that. But before I even speak about my family, I want to thank Pastor Bob. Like, this has been a really tough season for our church. And through this interim period of time in life, Pastor Bob has stood up and taken a lot of blows and worked two jobs here and brought us to this place. With those, yeah. We love you, Pastor Bob. Also, with the help of Pastor Kevin and Pastor Jared, I've learned a lot about these men in this season. And when you go through rough patches, God shows you who you are, who you're not, who you need. I want to thank my mom. My dad has passed on, but from the day I became a pastor, my mother never called me Reg again. She calls me Pastor Reg. And my wife calls me Pastor. It's very different. My mother is saying Pastor Reg, like, I'm proud of my son. I've watched him. I know where he's been, and I know what God has done. My wife uses as like, Pastor, don't think that way. Pastor, don't say that. Pastor, don't act that way. It's very different. And then I want to thank both of my sons, because we've been in ministry for a very long time. Mitchell couldn't be here today, but Reggie is. And they've walked this out with us. And they're grown men now. And then I want to thank Bob. Bob Corbett, if you guys don't know, has been my friend for 30-some-odd years. Well before I met my wife. And he was instrumental in my Christian walk. And has always been such an encouragement. And it was so many ways where I would think, I can't repay him for that. But now he has treated me like I'm his personal pastor. So we're catching up. Like, it's evening out. And then I want to thank Gloria. Because at this level of ministry that we've been doing so often, preparing for sermons, being in school, preparing in ministry, like, she's there, but we have other things to do. And God gives you the right child at the right time because she's very self-sufficient and independent. But I want to say thank you to her and just give her a moment to say something if she'd like to say something.
I want to say thank you to you all. This has been a crazy time for, you know, all of us. And it's great to know that you guys care and that we've been able to get through this together. And this has been a day that we've looked forward to for a while now. And I really can't believe that it's here and that we're like, that this is actually happening. And I just, yeah, want to thank you all. And I love you guys.
You've been a PK, but you're a real PK now. And finally, my wife, my life partner, my best friend, my lover, my sister in Christ, and the one who keeps me on track. If it wasn't for her, you guys wouldn't have even wanted me for free. So I'm just going to give her a minute to speak, and then we're going to move on with the word.
Good morning. This is hard in a good way.
There was a hair on the microphone that's just disturbing me. And it wasn't mine.
Like he said, Uncle Bob Pops has been through so much with us. And I remember a time where Uncle Bob and I used to, we lived in an apartment in a house, and we started a Bible study there. And this is, man, 20-something years ago. And I said to my husband, you know, you're going to be a pastor. And Uncle Bob bought him a jacket that said The Rev. Horrible, ugly jacket, but it said those words. And God has been faithful because as a young man, just preaching and teaching the word, when we weren't even theologically trained, but we knew God called, God equips. And I love my husband. You guys know that. But you're going to have a man who loves the word of God, who eats the word of God, who sleeps and wakes up talking to us about the word of God. And I'm sharing him with you guys because he doesn't belong to me. He belongs to God. And God has called him to this. Just thank you.
Still got a little bit of time to preach, and that's what we're here for. But you know, like when you go on YouTube and you either want to play a video or song or something, you always get a commercial first. And then they tell you kind of like, hey, you can buy so you don't have commercials, but I don't do that. So commercial before we go on.
One of the things that we are going to institute here and is going to be immediate is Saturday is going to be called Family Fix Day. So what that means is two things. Family is our households. So whether it be couples, ministry stuff, or siblings, or parent-kid stuff, that's going to be one aspect of it. And the other aspect of it is, like, we are a family. And we're going to have discipleship and leadership training and things for us to pull together as a family so we can move forward. And the first part of that is going to start like next Saturday. So we're going to just start moving ahead. So the first thing we're going to do is a couple seminar, and there's already a sign up sheet in the book center. So what is going to be is for married people and engaged people. Like, I looked at a couple of engaged people and I'm like, am I going to be? And engaged people. And for the next four Saturdays from 12 noon to 1:30, we're going to meet here in the sanctuary, and we're going to have a couple seminar. And on February 13th, which is the day before Valentine's Day, that's going to culminate with a small luncheon. And it'll be a small fee for whatever we get for us to eat. But other than that, just sign up and come. We'll put it on the website, but we're going to get started right away. It's nice that we would have couples dinners and stuff like that. But, you know, before, like we have a date going to a couples dinner and we have beef, meaning trouble in our marriage. And we're just sitting there like eating. I didn't mean like beef, like we're serving beef at the dinner. But I'm saying, how are we going to go on a date and we're sitting there and it's like, I'm here, but I'm really not here. So that can't be, right? So starting next Saturday, I know it's short notice, but sign up for that if you know someone that could benefit or be interested in that. It'll be in the bookstore and we will also put it online. So that is the commercial, but I'm going to keep it brief, but we're going to jump right into the Word of God, and we are going to go to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. Pastor Angelo already read it, but I'm going to read it again. But let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is your word that brings us life, Lord. So we ask that even if we spend 15 minutes in your word, it would nourish us, Lord. It would show us something. It would move us in the direction that you want to take us in, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we get to know you more and more by being in your word, Lord, understanding who you are, how you interact with your people, and who we are in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today I might speak a little faster than I normally speak, but the scripture is Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 21. And the title of today's message is, He Makes a Way in the Wilderness. And it says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostrich. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I form for myself, that they might declare my praise. Verse 18 says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. What former things? Whenever we're looking at the word of God, one of the things that we normally do is just like personalize it to our situation, like right away. And we need to be somewhat careful of that, right? So these former things that Isaiah is speaking of is Israel is in Babylon. They have been exiled, and now they are in a place that they don't want to be in. And God allowed them to be there because they were under discipline. And he's saying, forget those things. I'm doing something new. Well, there are, for us, things that we need to forget when God is doing something new. Those things are our events, maybe, or situations or conditions, pain, things that you've been subjected to. Like, how do we, like, remember not those things? How do we forget them? The only way we're going to be able to do that is when God starts this new thing, it totally eclipses the pain. Because other than that, how is it going to go away? But he's saying before it happens, before he sends them out, forget those things. I'm about to do something new. So it would take faith. It would take trust in his character and who he is, that before he delivers you something, he's saying, listen, you got to get past that. It says in verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? This is a new chapter for Light of the World Church family. God has really stretched us in this season. And it's just so, like, on multiple levels, the things that are going around in the world with coronavirus, the things that are going on in our country, the political things, the racial things, the things that have taken place in our church, the things that are taking place in our family and our personal lives. That's a lot. But he says, what we know we need in all of that is spiritual health. There's nothing more important than our spiritual health. But he says, do you not perceive it? Can't you see what I'm about to do? To perceive something, to put it real plain, is to see something in your mind's eye. Like to see something in your mind's eye. Can you see what's going on? The thing is, there are things that could blind us from the perception we need to have. For us not to see something in our mind's eye, for us not to be able to perceive something, it would be because something is clouding it. Something is keeping us blinded. It could be the way that you have viewed something. It could be the effects of the things that you've been through. Being guided by the wrong things. Maybe your emotions have you in a place where you can't perceive what's going on because you're so steeped in your pain. It could be false notions or claims. It could be disinformation that you're hanging on to that you need to let go. So if we're in that place, I am not a person to just like blanket over like, okay, we moving on. No, we have to deal with some pain. We have to deal with some stuff that we've been through as a body right here in this place. So we're not going to treat it like we're moving on, like, hey, get over that, forget that. No, because we'd harbor those things in our hearts and it could keep us in a wrong place. It's one of two things got to happen. And these are like real practical. Either you don't know and haven't heard of different things and rumors and hearsay and this and that and the other of how we got to this place. And you could just like let it go. And it's like, okay, we're in a new season and we're going to move on. Or you have been tainted by some of those things. You have heard things. You're wondering how we came to this place. this is all I can tell you. Wherever you got your information from, go to that person and say, can we go and talk to Pastor Reggie, Pastor Angelo, Pastor Bob, whoever it is. If you don't feel comfortable with that, come to us. Like, come and speak to us. I have had meeting after meeting after meeting since Tuesday night. And people have told me different things about myself where I said, did I ever say that to you? And they said, no. I said, well, where you get that information from? Or people have been so upset about certain things. And I said, you know, the right thing would have been to like make a phone call. Right? The Bible is like real clear on how we go about things when we have stuff going on or we feel we've been wronged or we feel we've been hurt. It says, go to the brother, go to the sister. If that doesn't work, then get somebody else to go there with you. And if that doesn't work, you bring them to the church. And if they can't be corrected, then they just got to leave. Can you not perceive it? If you're having a problem perceiving us moving forward, you know what's at risk? Your spiritual health, your spiritual life. Like, everything is at risk. We have just been in the wilderness. But you know what's worse than being in the wilderness? Being in the wilderness alone. Because we're moving forward. You can't stay there. It's one thing for us to be as a group and be able to depend on each other and be going through a hard time. It's a whole nother thing if we start moving on. And because you haven't dealt with that stuff, you stay over there. God doesn't want that for any of us. We're a family. We can get through anything, but it's going to start with communication. He said, even the beast of the field, even the beast of the field, while they're in the desert, they knew where they were getting their water from. We need to be able to stand on God's word when he says, I'm doing a new thing. And when he says, do you perceive it? We need to know what he's doing. And in that desert place that he was talking about, is there's a desert between Babylon and Judah and they and Judea. They had to go through that desert to get to that place. And God said, as you're going through there, I'm going to provide for you. Everything that you need will be there to get you to that journey. When we're talking about water in the desert, salvation, that's what saves you. That's, you can't live without water in the desert. But he's going to lead us and bring us through. You can come up, worship team. He has continually put provision in our path as we've been in this dark, lonely, confusing place. But he's bringing us on out on the other side of that. And don't get it twisted in your mind for one reason. Don't get it twisted in your mind at all. The reason is not, oh, now Reggie's up here. Because that ain't gonna do it. We need God. If you remember the sermon that I preached last week when David said, I'm living in a cedar palace and the ark is in a tent. Well, I need to build God a house. And God said, you don't build me a house. I build the house. And he is going to build our house. Any house that's being built starts with the foundation. If you are hurting, if you are confused, whether you're clapping your hands like, I'm so happy Pastor Reggie is up there, or you thinking, I'm out of here. Make sure you pray. Make sure you come and speak to us. Make sure you recognize what's on the line. Don't stay in the desert alone. God is going to do great things here. He has been faithful here, and he will be faithful here. Pastor Angelo started this church with a Bible study. We have a 40-acre campus here. God wants to do great things, and he has positioned every person in this church with gifts and talents and love. We are a family. And God is going to build us, and God is going to grow us. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to close in for a little while because we need some healing, and we need some nourishment, and we need to be built up. But as we're in that process and we start getting stronger and getting stronger, we're going to affect this community. We're going to have Bible studies where we're falling in love with God again. Frankie already gave me a report yesterday of the Bible study that we have online, and he's telling me the great things that are coming out of that. Comments like, I feel the same way that I felt when I first got saved. Like, have you lost that kind of excitement and that feeling? Who we're going to depend on to provide those rivers in the desert? I'm a plumber, but I can't do that. And I'm like a plumber that doesn't do plumbing anymore. Now I'm going to preach, so don't like, oh, he's a plumber. The pastor would hate to tell you no. I can't. I'm reading the Bible for Sunday. God is going to bring us through. He's the one who's going to refresh us. He's the one who's going to empower us. He's the one that's going to bring life to this place. But healing's going to start right now today. It has to. Because we can't move on until certain things are dealt with. And that's okay. And we're all going to process those things differently. And certain wounds take longer to heal than others. Certain people process things in a different way. But we're going to extend grace and mercy and forbearance to one another the way that God does to us. So if you're in a place where you feel like I've been in the desert and you don't know Jesus, he's the living water. He's the living water. He's the one who can satisfy you in that desert place, in the wilderness, in the chaos, to make sense out of who you are, a sinner that needs to be saved by the work that he did on that cross. That he would substitute his life and take the pain and the punishment for you to be saved. You got to repent. You got to know that salvation does not mean I attach Jesus to myself so my life could get better. No, you got to be willing to give your life to him like he gave his life for you. And in that, you're going to find out what it is to really live. So if that's you, we would love to pray for you. And if that's you at home, you can call our office during office hours or call someone here on the phone if you have someone's phone number. But for the rest of us that need a fresh start, that need to take a deep breath, a sigh of relief, a God, help me, that needs to start the healing process today. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar and we're going to pray together. Spread out if you're going to come, but we need to heal and we need to move forward. So as the team plays a song, just come. You can kneel, you can stand. God starts that new thing today. It ain't got nothing to do with me and my family. It has to do with the chapter that has ended and the new chapter that's beginning for us all. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, because you've taken us out of the wilderness again. This ain't the first one we've been in, Lord. But you've been there. It won't be the last one either. But you'll be there. That's why we trust you. Because we know, Lord, as your children, that we have a great confidence in who you are. It's bigger than what we think. It's bigger than what we feel. You're bigger than what we're going through, Lord. And even in those desert places, even in the wilderness, Lord, you're doing something in us, Lord. Thank you, God. You are teaching us how to trust you for everything. We are so excited moving forward in you, Lord, in our personal lives, in our family lives, in the church. It's getting to know you better, Lord. Finding out who we are in you and what you've called each and every one of us to do and how that fits together in the family of God as your children, Lord, that will spend eternity with you and with each other, Lord. Do what only you can do. Be glorified in your house, Lord. We're going to walk out of here with a great excitement, knowing that a new chapter has begun in you. We are so excited to see what you are going to do. Cover us. Teach us. Heal us, Lord. Give us patience, forbearance, and love for one another as we move forward, Lord. Because you have called us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Yours. We will not be afraid. We will walk in victory, Lord, because it's already won. Thank you, God. Be glorified in our lives and in your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. A new thing, guys.